CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holline, Conference of Presidents. 18 July, 1994, Buenos Aires, Argentina. The Argentine-Israelite Mutual Association. An attack, mass murder. It is 28 years later, and we welcome Toby Dershowitz. Toby Dershowitz of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where she is Senior Vice President for Government Relations and Strategy. Toby, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The event 28 years ago today, please help the audience understand why we're still searching for answers and what has happened in the interim for the investigation of those responsible. Good evening to you.
Thank you so much, John and Malcolm, for having me on the show. First of all, it's very important to know that this was Argentina's deadliest bombing. It had an investigation that lasted about a decade or more. And what was found, in essence, is that several high-ranking Iranian officials were implicated in the bombing, which killed 85 Argentinians, Jews and non-Jews, on that horrible day 28 years ago. What we know is that it was planned on August 14th, 1993. The decision was made at Iran's highest levels in its Supreme National Security Council. Today, it's important to note that the people who plotted the attack are still active in Iran's government today. And they didn't stop at the Amia bombing. They've engaged in many terrorist attacks since. And that's one of the reasons that we should be very mindful of what happened 28 years ago today.
Malcolm?
What about the most current events? Recently, there was a plane being held in Argentina, whose government has been flirting with Iran for a long time and with Venezuela and their various allies across the continent, that they held a plane that supposedly stopped in Venezuela before, and nothing seemed to have has resolved from it yet. But why would this government do that, challenge Iran, appear to challenge Iran? And have the notices, the red notices, been effective in any way when we see the ministers who are named there traveling to South American countries representing Iran freely?
Well, this is a fascinating case. I'm glad you asked me about this plane that right now is grounded on the tarmac in Buenos Aires. First of all, it positioned itself as merely a cargo plane. Well, cargo planes typically have something like 5 crew members. This had 19 crew members. 14 Venezuelans and 5 Iranians. But they weren't just any Iranian crew members. Its pilot was a senior member of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the IRGC. He's actually a board member, Malcolm, and a shareholder and the manager of a U.S.-sanctioned Iranian airline called Keshem Fars. Keshem, I should say, is most known for ferrying weapons and other military equipment to Damascus on behalf of the IRGC's Quds Force. Now, service members listening to your show may know that the Quds Force is responsible for killing 603 American service members. Coming back to the plane, this is why it's suspicious. If it was just a regular cargo plane, why would you have a leading IRGC member flying the plane? He wasn't the only person who was suspicious, but that was one of many things that was suspicious about the plane. And again, its history as a designated plane. Look, they understand that this is a problematic flight and that perhaps even one of the crew members is associated with Qasem Soleimani, who headed up the Quds Force. My sources tell me that there were even people from foreign governments who alerted the Argentinians about the threat that this plane poses, and yet nothing was done. It's intriguing because the plane did start to take off, but then it was forced to land back in Argentina. We need to get to the bottom of this. We don't have all the questions answered, but what we do know is it's very suspicious. And it's my belief, Malcolm, that we collectively, the world, caught Iran and Venezuela in the middle of what should be a really big scandal.
I'm glad you asked me about, detail, Toby. You said Iran and Venezuela. Did we catch Argentina as well?
What we have heard, what I've heard from intelligence sources, is that some people in Argentina were given a heads up about this and were asked by the Venezuelans to look the other way. So that's a problem. And it's not surprising because, John, I know you've covered Christina Kirchner for quite some time. And she is the vice president now. Of course, she was the president of Argentina when Alberto Nisman, the prosecutor, bringing this back to the AMIA, right, the prosecutor of the AMIA investigation was assassinated just the day before he was due to present evidence before the Argentine Congress alleging Cristina Kirchner's involvement in covering up of what? Of Iran's role in the AMIA bombing. So there are a lot of twists and turns to this, but it's something that we need to watch very carefully.
Malcolm?
Have you found that the forces, the security forces, others in Argentina itself are really active? We see the whole continent moving in the wrong direction. Is Argentina, is the president of Argentina willing to stand up for principle in this case?
Well, first of all, allow me to answer the question you asked me before that I didn't mean to ignore it. And that's about the red notices, because it gets to what can the U.S. Government do. There are red notices out for the suspects, the Iranian suspects in the AMIA bombing. What we have found is that they have traveled to no fewer than 20 countries with impunity. That means they're traveling around the world. People know who they are. They have these Interpol red notices, which are akin to arrest warrants, and yet the world has looked away. The U.S. is well aware of this, and I think they need to be a lot more active. And allow me to say that some of the red notices are going to be up for review at the end of 2022. It's time that our government work with the Argentinian government, not just to discuss it, but to actually ensure that these red notices are extended so that they cannot act with impunity.
Argentina is a troubled country, Toby. And it's in negotiation now about debt one more time with no clear path forward. That suggests that it is a fragile governance. Is that a moment where pressure can be brought and there must be a response? I'm thinking of justice as well as the people of Argentina wanting transparency about the murder of Nisman.
You're exactly right. Transparency is not Argentina's middle name right now. They have a real poor reputation when it comes to judicial transparency and money laundering and the like. It is a requirement when you get an international loan from the IMF to be transparent. Right now, it appears to me that Argentina is violating every rule and regulation of the IMF, and it should not be allowed to simply have the huge loans that to which you're referring, John, without fully having a transparent, tariff finance system. They have a tariff finance system. It's just not transparent. And it's not always, the tariff finance laws are not always being implemented. And it's an opportunity to use U.S. and world leverage to ensure that Argentina does hold accountable the folks who were apparently involved in the AMIA bombing, but also Hezbollah, which operates freely in the tri-border area.
We have time for one more question. A minute, Malcolm.
So just give us your assessment then of the trend in South America overall, where the governments, all the elections that have taken place in the last few months, have turned to governments that are more hostile to America, more extremist.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think we have a good opportunity to use a multitude of levers. And I think it's been a challenge, to say the least, to woo the parts of the Venezuelan government, I should say, and parts of other governments in Latin America toward the U.S. But I think we have to use every lever we have at our disposal to show what American values are and the benefits of working with the United States over authoritarian regimes like Cuba, Venezuela, and Iran.
Toby Dershowitz, Senior Vice President for Government Relations and Strategy at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. 28 years, still no justice for the AMIA bombing of 1994. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.